You know, we are so honored to be here. We thank you guys so much. You guys have come alongside us and help in doing what we do. And for those that don't know what we do, we are Adult and Teen Challenge Flint, or Life Challenge Ministries. We are a one-year program that helps men who have hinders in their life, and we only believe through the supernatural power of Jesus that men can be set free from those addictions. He's the only one that can sustain and deliver. And that's what we do at Life Challenge. We have classes and chapel services. It's a busy program. How many of you guys know Ron Sack? Come on, Ron right there. He's one of our teachers. We're so thankful for him. He comes week in, week out. Dedicated Ron, right? And we just love him. And we're thankful. And we're thankful for Pastor Michael. He comes out there and preaches once a month to the guys. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful. You guys are blessed. He's a good man. And you're in good hands. But I'm going to share more later. Right now, Chris, come on up. This is Chris. Now, Chris, how long have you been in the program now?
Going on 4 months.
4 months. Well, Chris, we just want to hear a little bit of where you were at and what's happening now.
Well, I had gotten myself into some trouble with alcohol. Got some tickets in Lapeer County and incarcerated. And I was praying and praying and praying because I knew where I was going. And I have to give celestial credit to God because where I was heading. Anyway, I'm attending AA meetings in Lapeer County Jail. And the AA facilitator, Tim Campbell, he mentioned Life Challenge, and my ears perked up, and I'm like, wow, I have to find out a little bit more about that. Maybe that can help me. And so I told Tim what has been going on in my life and the challenges I've had. I've been using alcohol for a little over 35 years. I'm 60 years old now. And he said, Chris, do you think you would be a candidate for a Life Challenge? He says, tell me what's going on. I told him, I says trouble, disappointing people. And he says, tell you what, I'm going to bring an application. We're going to fill it out. My father and I, we're going to sponsor you. So, oh, this is beautiful. So happens he is in telephone conversation with Judge Holoka. He's a circuit court judge in Lapeer County Circuit Court. And I was blessed. I was given a year in the county jail for the crime with credit for 112 days as I sat there simmering and hoping and praying that things would go in my favor at sentence time. And I was expecting the worst, hoping for the best. And he said, Mr. Thomas, this is incredible what's going on with you. He says, but it's a little peculiar. So he gives me a year in the county jail and credit for 112 days. And or you can go to the, you'll get an early release to the Life Challenge program. And here I am. So, so I've been there. I'm learning. I'm getting saturated in the Word, and along with that, I've had some trials since I've been there. My brother, he apparently developed kidney failure, and it just took me by surprise. And I went to Pastor Phil about it, and like a soldier that he is, He gathered everyone. They all laid hands on me and prayed that my brother would have healing. And my brother's been a hero all my life. So I called and talked to my brother to see how he's doing, get an update, you know. So he picks up, when he answers his phone, it's like, "Hey, Chris, how you doing?" Just like he was before the kidney failure started happening. And I'm thinking, hey, something's different. Something's better. So I says, "What's going on?" He says, "Chris, you're not going to believe it. I went for a few of my dialysis, and the doctor came in and read my charts. He said, when in the beginning, your potassium was off the charts. He says, now everything seems normal." So he says, "You're not going to be on dialysis anymore, so just continue with your medications and get some exercise." So I give credit for that to Pastor Phil and God. God came in. Matthew 18:20 says, "Whenever more than two and three come together, I am there with you." And boy, was he. My brother is seems to be normal, and wow. So with that, I'm blessed.
Yeah. Thank you. Love you. Thank you. Well, I did not hear about that healing. So come on. That's good news. Thank you for sharing. Ryan, come on. This is Ryan. Ryan has graduated the program last month and is now interning with us. And, I mean, you just got to share.
How y'all doing? First and foremost, thanks again, Ron. We love you, man. Appreciate everything you do for us. My name is Ryan. I'm from Gary, Indiana. And growing up, I had four older brothers and sisters who kind of got me started out with drinking and drugging and doing stupid stuff at a really young age. It wasn't a crazy addiction at that point in time, but I kind of just started going off the deep end as I got further in my teenage years in life. Tragedy really struck home for me when I was 16, and this is where what I knew of God, I completely turned away from him. And my sister Sydney, who was 23, was killed in a car accident, and that really hit home for me. It was a real gut check, you know, from the neck up, and I really started diving in more so to drugs and depression and anxiety and things like that, and it really started giving me a really bad outlook on life. And like I said, what God I knew, I started to blame him for every pain that I had at that time. I bounced back. I was trying to do good and get scholarships to play ball in college, which I did. But there was one night at a family dinner that my mom came out to us, and she told us that she was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. So instead of me going out to play ball in college, I actually decided to stay back and help take care of her, only to find out a year later that she was going to pass from stage 4 brain cancer at 54. There were two completely different deaths, but they really started to get me down this really dark rabbit hole that honestly I didn't see a way out of. However, it was my mom's passing wish that I graduate and get my degree. So that's what I did. I graduated from Purdue University and got my bachelor, which she would have been proud of. However, my senior year of college, I got another phone call from a deputy in Dallas, Texas, about my brother Robert, who we had moved down there with some family to try to get back on his feet. And apparently one day on his way to work, he got in a road rage incident, and a man pulled a gun on him and shot him and murdered him in cold blood. So at this point in my time, I was completely, this was a complete 180 of all the pain that I had felt now. This was just now anger and rage and hate. And sure enough, I ended up packing my bags and moving out to Dallas, Texas. And for 2 years, day and night, you know, I had two guns in my car, a 1911 45 caliber and a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson, a bottle of Jack Daniels and Jim Beam, and 2 ounces of cocaine every night. And I would just hunt for that man, go to every bar. I'd had news stations out. And I was destined to kill that man if I ever found out who it was or anything like that. And this went on for a couple of years. And finally, there was this stance where one day I just started hearing this voice screaming at me, telling me to run. And I had no idea what it was, but it was starting to freak me out. And I let it go, you know, for a day and a half or 2 days. But, you know, that third morning came, and that voice was just screaming at me, just run, run, you can't be here. So next thing I knew, I packed my bags, I had all my stuff, I didn't say bye to a friend, I didn't quit my job, nothing. And I headed back to Gary, Indiana, where I knew that I had people to support me and that would care about me. When I got back, it was still a stumble. You know, I didn't know how to quit my addiction because I was pretty far into it at this point in time, and I was still trying to suffer with the loss of family members. So at this point in time, it was November 25th of 2019 where I was highly impaired, and I actually drove my car through a telephone pole going 60 miles an hour. When I came to, I was inverted upside down in my car. I was being choked out by my seatbelt and gushing blood, but somehow I kicked myself out, pulled it out, and I saw three different things going on. One of them was reality, what was really happening. You know, the ambulances, the fire trucks, the police cars, the people that called 911. Another one was this bright white light, which what I think was my mom, brother, and sister I saw. And then another one was just complete blackout, you know. And next thing I remember waking up in the hospital. And realistically, I only had a couple of broken ribs and a concussion, but nothing serious. And it was that point in time that I decided I wanted to start fighting for my life and my sobriety and get back on the right track. Prior to coming to Life Challenge, meeting Pastor Phil, I went to 5 different secular rehabs, they call it, short-term, like 14, 30-day programs. And after going to those, they diagnosed me with 5 different things. One of them, bipolar, post-traumatic stress disorder, a ridiculous anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, and thoughts. So they had me on 17 different psych medications. After that was just making me worse. I became a zombie. You know, I was staying off the drugs, but I didn't know how to function as a human being. And then my buddy Mike got in touch with Pastor Phil here, and we got me into Life Challenge June 8th of 2020 last year. And man, I thank God for Life Challenge because it's really, truly what started to change my life and see a growth in me as a person and give me back hope. The first 3 months were rough. I had a really hard time submitting to God and all that, but there was one morning at chapel service where Pastor Phil was giving a really powerful message, and it just spoke to me and it broke me. And I remember, and I don't cry, like I didn't even cry at the weddings or funerals or anything like that. And I was down in front of all these guys here, and those are ones that graduated, just bawling out like a baby for 30 minutes, not knowing what was going on, you know? But that was the day that I really decided to dedicate my life to the Lord and claim him as my savior. And in time of doing that at Life Challenge, there's been 3 amazing things that have happened. I have quit taking all my 17 prescription medications, and I've been clean and sober off of them for the last 10 months now. So praise God for that. I've also, I want to be forgiven for all my sins that I've done wrong too. And I know in order to do so, I have to be able to forgive those that have harmed me too. And I've actually, even though I don't know the man, I have full-heartedly forgiven the man who murdered my brother. And I hope that he finds the Lord one day himself. And for that, I'm really grateful. And choir, if you guys want to come on up, I'm going to wrap up with this. My favorite Bible verse, it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It reads, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them to practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them to practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I think all the guys here at Life Challenge, and I'm sure there's a lot of us in the crowd, where we build our life and our foundation on the worldly things, which is the sand. It might be pornography, it might be drugs, it might be alcohol, it might be gambling, it might be video gaming, it might be golfing on a Sunday to hide from your wife. I don't know. but those are the worldly things that we find ourselves in. However, you know, I'm grateful for Life Challenge because it's really given me a chance to build my life on that rock, which is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Thank you very much.
Amen, amen.
And we're going to go ahead. This is our Life Challenge choir. We prepared a little song for you guys. If you all want to stand up with us really quick and worship, that'd be awesome.
That you're good and your love is great.
You know, it is so powerful, and I say this a few times, but when these guys are in the morning and we're singing out chapel, we do chapel services 4 days a week in Flint on DuPont and Flushing, and we're an old frat house, but there's a couple more frat houses right next to us, and when we're in there and we're worshiping the King and all these men are singing and these guys are still sleeping next door, I know they're being saved at that time because their voices just go out into that neighborhood praising God. No longer praising a bottle or a drug, but praising Jesus. Randy, come on up. This is Randy. Now, Randy, you've been in the program how long?
June 21st will be 6 months.
6 months. Come on, give it up for Randy. Let me just tell you, it's not easy. Our program's not easy. You're in our program, you're there to change. Right? You're in it to win it. We'll just share a little bit, Randy.
I've been drinking all my life since about 12. Again, I just turned 59. I really drank beer all my life. In November of 2015, I lost a stepson, and I went straight from beer to alcohol. Never been in trouble before with the law. January 1st, 2016, got my first DUI. 8th, 2019, got my second. Spent a year in a county jail. Talked to my mom, and I told her what had happened, and she said, you know, Randy, God's always been in your life. You just never put him to work. In March of 2020, I called Pastor Phil and asked him about coming into Life Challenge through my cousin, which is also my pastor. And he said, yeah, come on. And I kind of hesitated. In December, or November, I don't remember Thanksgiving. And then December 1st, I called Pastor Phil. He said, come on. He goes, I had a room for you ever since March. I packed up my apartment, sold everything that I had, got rid of all my furniture, packed up my clothes. December 21st, I was in Life Challenge. Holidays, could have been with the family. I chose to be now with my new brothers. But one thing I can say that really is really shaking me up is that, you know, we do a lot of Bible stuff, and I've never really had God in my life as much as I do now. And about 2 months ago, I was ready to leave, and God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I take a medicine to make me sleep, and I don't normally wake up. But he woke me up one night, and he said to me, if you give me the time that you have gave that bottle, I will have you, you'll be rich beyond your dreams. And that night, for 2.5 hours, I searched through the Bible for fruit of the Spirit and found everything that God was talking about. It has made me, it has made me a better person than I was. I've got people that have seen a change in me. There's still things I'm working on, but, you know, God does things at his time, not my time. So anybody that has issues, please don't be scared to tell anybody, because we're all here to help. And I find that with all my brothers, the new guys coming in, the guys that have graduated, Ryan, Ken, other graduates that have gone, if you just give the program a chance and you give God your time, he'll make it all happen. That's all I have.
Jeff. Is Jeff Brown out there? There he is. Here comes Jeff. Now, Jeff, you're getting close to graduation, aren't you?
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. Come on. Woo. Well, do you want me to hold the mic for you? Yeah, you know it. All right, here we go.
So my name is Jeff, and I was born February 15th, 1962. I grew up in Warren, Michigan. I had an above-average childhood. My sister, brother, and I were raised by good, hardworking parents. When I was 15 years old, my parents moved our family to Brighton, Michigan. I met who later became my wife in 1979. We both graduated from Brighton High School in 1980. In 1989, my wife, two sons, and I moved to Linden, Michigan on Lobdell Lake. This is where I learned that social drinking made it easier to talk and be around other people. I liked the effect alcohol had on me. It let me open up and socialize with people. It also made me realize that alcohol seemed to take away some of the hurts of life. In my early 40s, my marriage was starting to slowly deteriorate, and I found that I was drinking more for coping with hurt than to have fun. In 2004, I got my first drunk driving ticket. I was 42 years old. I got another drunk driving ticket a year after that. In 2007, I went to jail on a charge while under the influence of alcohol. I did 5 months in jail. And while serving this sentence, my wife served me with divorce papers. In 2009, my divorce was final. At this time, my wife and I had been together for 30 years. I was devastated. Trying to move on from there, but never seemed to be able to get past it. My children were grown and out of the house. My wife now gone, and the life that I knew was now gone. I did not know what to do. The drinking got worse, and I was self-medicating with alcohol daily, trying to cope. I knew at this time I had a problem and tried to get help from a number of different resources over the years. I tried AA, rehab, counseling, and more. I was failing at everything I tried. I got a third DUI in 2010. I thought for sure that I'd be punished severely for this one. But after paying out tens of thousands of dollars, probation, community service, counseling, and continued loss of license, I was able to avoid any long-term jail. In September of 2017, my car ended up in a ditch that I could not drive out of. When the police arrived, I had a laceration on my head and was taken by ambulance to the hospital. They drew blood at the hospital, and it was sent to a lab to be tested. I was not charged with anything at this time because they were waiting to see what the blood work said. After trying to end it all, police, my mother, and my sister-in-law showed up at my house, and I was taken to the hospital. After the hospital, I was taken to a detox center in Pontiac. After that, my mother and my sister-in-law brought me to Life Challenge. After 2 months at Life Challenge, I was arraigned in court for my fourth drunk driving, and sentencing was set for the following month. On May 29th, I received a Life Begin Achievement Certificate for the completion of my first 3 months at Life Challenge. The day after the ceremony, I had to be in court for sentencing on my fourth drunk driving. At sentencing, the judge asked me if I would like to say anything, and I said yes. I said I'd been at Life Challenge for 3 months so far and felt for the first time that there was hope of kicking my addiction and wanted to continue as a resident of Life Challenge, with hopes that after I was finished and graduated, I could let others know of this facility and not to give up, that there is hope. But the judge said it was a little, too late, and I was sentenced for 2 to 7.5 years in prison. After serving my minimum, I was given a parole and released in June of 2020. I stayed at my parents' house for 3 weeks while arranging to get back into Life Challenge, where I left off in 2018. Today, my sons are 36 and 32 years old, and we have a wonderful relationship again. I also have 3 beautiful grandchildren. I also have 3 beautiful grandchildren that I love to enjoy. I will be finishing my first year as a resident of Life Challenge in 2.5 weeks. I will then begin my internship. I'm here to tell you there is hope. His name is Jesus, and Life Challenge has showed me how I can have a personal relationship with him that I never thought possible. Thanks for listening.
You know, I actually went to court with Jeff on that day, hoping they would just sentence him to Life Challenge. And I was mad. I was like, come on. What do you mean? He's here. He's ready to go. He's ready to change his life. But then I got the call that he wanted to come back. And he came back and he started the program over. And 2 weeks from now, he's graduating. And his life is transformed. Family restored. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what our program's all about. Well, I got a little devotion I'd like to share with you. It's in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord Jesus, just be with us this morning. We love you. Amen. The author of Hebrews says, this life is an endurance race, not a sprint, not a relay, not an ambling walk through the park, but a long distance race that calls for endurance and focus on the part of every participant. In order to be in a race, we first need to get in the race. And that's what we do at Life Challenge. We offer that opportunity for men to get into the race. How do we get into this race? We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to confess our wrongdoings. We need to lay down those wrongdoings. We need to ask for forgiveness. We can't carry the weight of sin, of depression, of anxiety, of unforgiveness, of guilt, of shame. It's way too much for us to hold. We need to get rid of it to run a race. How do we go that distance? We have to rid those things in our life. We have to rid the sin that is so heavy. Those hurts that these men go through, that's so heavy. You can't run a race when you're being tied down, when you're full of that sin and depression and all those pains. We ask Jesus to take the weight, the heavy weight of this world, so we can run that race. How can we run a race when we're full of all that weight? Just imagine if I took Pastor Michael and I threw him on my shoulders and I started running. Eventually, I'm going to get so tired that I'm going to fall down and I'm not going to be able to move on anymore. Another thing is, let's say, who here works out a lot, lifts weights? I know quite a few. I see some here. I know a few of my guys here, right here, right? They lift weights. Well, when you lift weights, you need a spotter, right? Like, if you start to get tired and it starts to come down on you, you need a spotter to help lift that weight back up and to set it down. Well, just imagine when that weight is so heavy in this world. We got a spotter. His name is Jesus. And he will lift that weight. He will carry that weight from you and for you. And so that's how we can run the race. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In order to stay in the race, we can't get distracted. There's so many things out there that is trying to knock us off focus, trying to distract us from Jesus. There's news, there's politics, there's sickness, pandemics, there's money, there's jobs, there's worry. All these different things are trying to take our focus off of Jesus, so that we don't run the race. The enemy tries to distract us, to get us off balance as fast as he can. We can't get distracted. Did you know in the last 12 months, 90,000 people overdosed on opiates? 90,000 people. 80,000 people died from alcohol-related issues. That's a huge number of distractions. That's generations being wiped away. We have pandemics on top of pandemics on top of pandemics going on. To continue the race, we must keep on task. We must stay fit, spiritually fit, reading the word every day, praying every day, coming to church when it's time for church, gathering with like-minded people, who love Jesus. We need to gather with them, and we need to stand firm. We need to stand together, and we need to stay fit. That's how we build endurance. That's how we keep up strength. But once we stop doing that, once we stop staying fit, we stop reading our Bible, oh, that TV show's okay. We start to let the little things in. Oh, it's just a little bit of gossip. Oh, that word ain't that bad. Anger. Jesus got angry. We start to let the little things come in and to take over. That's when we need to remember that there is a King of Kings, that there is a Lord of Lords, and we need to remember what he has done for us. That's why we share testimonies for what Christ is doing in our lives. And sometimes we need to remember who God is. Yahweh, the self-existent one. He has always existed and will always exist. You can always rely on him because he is your internal source of strength. Adonai, God is the Lord over all. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He reigns forever. Therefore, you find safety in him and him alone. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jesus Christ said that the Father cares for us, and we never need to worry about provision. He is our source of life in every way. Elohim, God is creator, powerful and mighty, Lord of Lords. He is the Lord most high, stronger and mightier than anyone or anything. When you face impossible circumstances or adversaries, know that your God is stronger. El Elyon, the most high God. Do not fear the enemy who tries to intimidate you. Know that your God is the most high God. There is none above you. Know that your God is the most high. Jesus Christ is exalted high above every name. You need to remember who God is when we start to get off the race. And we need to get back in track. And we need to fight. Church, we need to stand together. We need to come together and fight. People are dying. We cannot let the enemy continue the way he is. He's taken our children. And how do we fight? Church, we do it together. We pray together. We get out there and we help people. We help programs like this. But we have to stand firm and we have to stand together. And we have to call on the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. At Life Challenge, we give men that opportunity. to become fighters, warriors, to run that race, to battle with Jesus, to help spread the word that there is hope, that there is a way out, and that way out is through Jesus Christ alone. He's the only way. The only way. There's many ways that you can come alongside us. Number one, Ron, right, is prayer. These men need prayer. It's not easy coming in for a year into the program and coming out, leaving their wives behind, their families behind, their loved ones behind. We got married men in here. Bill, raise your hand, Bill. He's got a wife. And he's in here. It's not just the man who gets restored. It's the entire family. Brian, you got wife and kids. Chris, got a wife. It's not just the person. It's the entire family. So we need lots of prayer. We need lots of prayer. Other ways that you can come alongside us is we need help financially. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We don't collect any state or government funds because we're not taking Jesus out. He's the center of our program. So in order to do that, we need people to come alongside us. Out there, we have a booth. There's a few different ways. One is called Sponsor a Life. You're able to come alongside one of these men. I call it Save a Life, but it's Sponsor. For $35 a month, you would get a picture with their testimony on it so you can put it on their fridge. Some of these men have nobody. They've burnt all the bridges. Some of these men have blown them bridges up. And for you to be there praying for them, knowing that you're coming alongside them and filling that gap makes a difference. It makes a difference to them, to us. We have coffee for sale out there at our table. One of our graduates, Sean Murray is his name. He started a coffee roasting company. When he graduated, he went to work for a coffee company in Flint, Cafe Rema. He was working there, became part owner with them for a while. And then he left there and started his own coffee roasting company. And I said, hey, can you make us a blend? He's like, yeah. I'm like, can I name it? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, can I call it the Awakening Blend? Dual purpose, because that caffeine will wake you up in the morning. But we all know we need an awakening from Jesus sometimes. So you'll find that in that great cup of coffee out there. So we have signs also out there that these guys made. By hand, they took old pallets and transformed them into these cool little signs that say Jesus or hope or restore on them. You know, and it's kind of, as they're coming in here and getting transformed, we take old things and transform it into new. Because that's what Jesus does best. And so we have some of those signs out there. And for $20, a $20 donation, you can get a bag of coffee or a sign. But guess what? If you give 40, you get one of each. That's good stuff. Real good stuff. And it's a donation. So you can get a tax write-off on top of that if you write a check or put down your name. So I just want to thank you guys for allowing us to be here today. And for Pastor Michael allowing us to come in here and share what God is doing. He's still alive. He's still moving. He's still changing. He's still transforming. But we need to stand together, church. And we need to stand together in prayer. So if I can pray and pass on the mic, I just thank you again. Lord God, we just come to you right now, just thanking you, Lord, for what you're doing here at Mayfair. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these men. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch this community here right now in Jesus' name. That those that are hurting around here in this community would see this church and walk through these doors, Lord God, to seek you. Lord, we can't do this without you. We need you. Lord, we need you. We need you to come around us, to guide us, to deliver us, to protect us. So protect this church in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.